most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. There is Tennessee basketball tonight. The Lady Vols play at LSU. The game tips off shortly after 7:30. Coverage starts at 7. Mickey Dearstone with the call. Bobby Raider at the scoreboard. And so we will have comments from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper between now and the end of the program. More from Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello and a practice report with Eric Kane. So all that on the truck. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Vince Ferrara, what is up for grabs this evening?
John Wilkerson, it's a pair of passes to Wolf Ridge Ski Resort in Mars Hill, North Carolina. Each pass is good for a lift ticket and equipment rental.
All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. As Tennessee softball season underway, tell us the two teams that Tennessee has beaten the most out of the Southeastern Conference. What two SEC teams has Tennessee softball posted its most victories against? 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. We start with Toby. Hello, Toby.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing fine, and yourself?
Doing good. We're going to take a major stab in the dark and say South Carolina and Kentucky.
Well, you were half right. You finished strong.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Sure do appreciate it, Toby. Have a great night. Let's go next to Derek. Hello, Derek.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, let's go Kentucky and Florida.
Not Florida. Derek, you were half right. Have a great night, all right?
You too. Thank
all right,
you.
Sure do appreciate it. We go next to Riley. Hello, Riley.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this evening?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Doing great. I'm going to say Kentucky and Georgia.
Not Georgia. They've played Georgia an awful lot, but it's not Georgia. Riley,
right,
we sure do appreciate
y'all.
It.
Have a great night.
You do the same. Thank you so much. Let's go next to Gary. Hello, Gary.
Hello.
Hi.
How about Kentucky and South Carolina?
Not South Carolina. They've also played the Gamecocks quite a bit, but it's not South Carolina. We sure do appreciate it. Have a great night, all right?
Thanks.
All right. And the question is, what two SEC teams has Tennessee softball defeated the most? What two SEC teams does Tennessee softball have its most wins against? 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Jerry joins us next. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, and you?
I'm good. I'm going to guess Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
Not Vanderbilt, but we sure do appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you very much. And Vince, there's a reason it's not Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt does not play softball.
That's why there are only 13 teams in the Southeastern Conference. We go next to John, who's up. Hi, John. How are you?
Doing just fine. I'm going to say Kentucky and Ole Miss.
That is absolutely correct. In fact, it would be Ole Miss with 48 victories for Tennessee softball against the Rebels, 48-10. That is the most victories against an SEC opponent. Kentucky is second, where the Lady Vols are 46-15 against the Big Blue. John, you are our winner. Vince, tell him what he's won.
He got a pair of passes to Wolf Ridge Ski Resort in Mars Hill, North Carolina. Each pass is good for a lift ticket and equipment rental. Good job, John.
Thank you.
All right, way to go. Hang on the line so we can get your information, and that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. And we say congratulations to the softball team. They were in action twice today. The first game was an exhibition against the Mexican national team. Mexico won that 2-0. But the Lady Vols found themselves tied at 2 against Colorado State. In the end, Tennessee walks away with a 6-4 victory.
Nice.
So they, I guess, improve now to 4-1 on the season. We'll get a break. When we return, it'll be time for a practice report with Eric Kane. That's next as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues with Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Time now for a Tennessee practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we get to say hello to Eric Kane, who not only is going to give you the latest information in regards to Tennessee basketball, but he's also pretty juiced about calling the opener tomorrow for Tennessee baseball with a 2 o'clock first pitch, and you'll be handling the stream on utsports.com and the Game Day app. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, and I am, as you said, I'm juiced. I'm ready to go. The first call of the season is always excited, so I hope everyone joins me along for that audio broadcast at utsports.com and on the Tennessee Athletics app. So really excited about doing that. Again, it's moved up first pitch from 4 o'clock to 2 o'clock, so I hope everyone can join me there and listen to Tennessee baseball tomorrow as it's the dawn of a new season. But as far as Tennessee basketball, South Carolina – is its next opponent on Saturday. The Gamecocks 7-2 since that Tennessee loss a couple weeks ago. Loss on the road at Ole Miss and at Auburn since, but led by as many as 24 last night in a 75-59 win over Georgia. Georgia made one field goal in the first 14 minutes of the game, so it was South Carolina out the gate as A.J. Lawson scored 20 points on 7 of 10 shots from the field. So South Carolina feeling very good about itself coming in, a one-point loss to Tennessee last go-around. So it'll be a big matchup for the Volunteers on Saturday. Rick Barnes met with the media earlier this afternoon. He discussed a number of things, but most prominent, still no update on Josiah Jordan-James, who's missed the last four games with injury. He has done some work on the treadmill, Barnes said. Jalen Johnson apparently was not feeling well today. Again, it's cold and flu season. Jalen Johnson not feeling the best, but again, he should be okay. And John Fulkerson seems to be feeling better after really had some cause of doubt that he was going to play in Tuesday game. But again, he came out and played pretty well. But that's the overall status on the team's health entering Saturday, according to head coach Rick Barnes.
As far as the team goes, the outlook, this team health has been a bit of a concern. Obviously, John Fulkerson was a, not just a game time decision, but almost a tip time decision the other night. It is just, I guess, at this stage of the year, something that a team knows it's going to have to deal with. You just hope that it doesn't jump from one player to the next where it takes out a big range of players.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where everything, you know, comes in, taking care of your bodies. You know, it starts with eating right and just, you know, natural, you know, everyday things that everyday people have to take care of, you know, just washing your hands and then being mindful of that because, you know, it's cold and flu season for everybody, not just us, but for these players who are out there competing at a very high level. So especially when you have such a tight-knit group and you're in a locker room like that, one player gets sick, often it can spread to another. So kind of nipping that in the bud and keeping it under wraps. And a lot of times you hear players, when they do come down with something, staying away from the team. John Fulkerson, you know, Rick Barnes said, and I believe it was Santiago Vescovi said post-game, you know, we didn't see John Fulkerson, you know, from the end of the Kentucky game up until tip-off of the Arkansas game the other night. He stayed away completely, and those are some of the measures that you have to take, you know, when you're competing at this high level during the winter season.
And with the where Tennessee stands, you look at this stretch. They got a big win against Arkansas earlier this week. South Carolina had to travel to play at Georgia, although it looked impressive, as you mentioned, building up a big lead as it took care of the Bulldogs. But this is a kind of a rematch game, and the fact that South Carolina has won 7 of its last 9, it's going to take all hands on deck, don't you think?
Yeah, very much will. And Rick Barnes talked about South Carolina here today when he met with the media. He said they're playing very fast. He said there's often a misconception about South Carolina and where people think they play slow and they try to grind out games. He said they can do that, but they also can play fast. They're spreading things out right now. They're working the high elbows both on the left and the right side of the lane, and then they're cutting to the basket. So this is also a team that you're going to have to defend in transition. So a team that's playing in a number of different ways can win in a number of different ways. A team that has been winning, again, 7 of the last 9 ball games. Only 2 losses on the road during that stretch, and you're going to need a strong, you know, outing from, you know, top, you know, from the top to the bottom of the lineup. Santiago Vescovi, Reggie out his numbers yesterday, averaging 14 points, 5 assists, 2 turnovers in his last 5 games. You'd like a strong outing from him at the point guard position, but continue to get efforts from John Fulkerson, from Eve Pons, who has played both the 4 and the 3 here of late. Rick Barnes made the move against Arkansas primarily because of matchups, but again, he mentioned today he wanted to get Eve Pons back inside to that 4 spot where he's been playing, where he's most comfortable, and try to get him going early. So we'll have to see how Rick Barnes wants to start things out there. But you'll need big contributions from Pons, from Fulkerson, from Vescovi, and again, things are always better when Jordan Balvin is clicking as well.
Any other news or notes?
Well, that will about do it. One more thing Rick Barnes did say, had comment on some of the bench play for Devontae Gaines and Olivia Kumwal, saying, Gaines has come in and played with great energy the past 4 games. He's been very assertive. Kumwal starting to look more comfortable in the game, but still looking for some consistency between the two. You're starting to see a little bit of it for Devontae Gaines, but overall with those 2 players, strengthening the bench is something Rick Barnes wants to do, and you'll need consistency for that. Barnes was asked if he would toy with the idea of maybe starting Devontae Gaines, and he said he didn't know. He said he reminded us that he's been toying with Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden coming off the bench in that 6-man role the last couple of years, because you need a little punch coming off the bench into the ball game. And right now, Devontae Gaines is adding that. So Rick Barnes very pleased with how Gaines is playing right now. But again, a little bit more consistency from both Gaines and Kumwal. One other thing on Euros Plastis, you've seen his numbers diminish really the last couple of games, falling out that really strong performance against Mississippi State a couple of weeks ago. Barnes just said simply he's got to be productive, and it's more mental with physical with him, but he's a freshman, he's learning, and he's not surprised in this right now. He's seen it before. So again, consistency, proving it in practice, and then going out throughout the game. So those were some of the highlights from Rick Barnes today, this afternoon. That audio was up at 991thesportsanimal.com in preparations for South Carolina on Saturday. Today's UT basketball practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
Eric, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And that is a Tennessee practice report. And why don't we go ahead and jump right into part 2 of my conversation. It actually took place yesterday, and day before yesterday. And this is with Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello talking about the attention that has come Alaric Solari's way in this preseason and the buildup to the start of the 2020 campaign.
A lot of folks are talking about Alaric Solari and what he means to this program, represents, because he's earned first-team All-American, first-team All-SEC preseason recognition. And, of course, that really doesn't mean a hill of beans, but what does it mean in terms of him handling now what will be very much a focal point in the other team's game plan?
Yeah, I've been in the other dugout as a pitching coach before, and it stresses you out when you got to worry about a guy with a tremendous amount of power or speed or a clutch hitter or a guy who fights off 2 strikes or gets a lot of hit by pitches. So you want to be able to have as many of those guys in the order as possible. And, Alaric is one just based off the numbers last year. People are going to be concerned with him, and it might actually play into his favor. There might be days he's not so confident, but the guy's less confident on the mound. But all in all, it's nice to have a couple guys that we see as centerpieces for the lineup, and he's one of several. We'll move him around a couple different times during the year and hopefully find the ideal spot for him. But when he's locked in and he's under control, he's a very emotional kid in a positive way. He's passionate, and he wants to do well for his team, and then trust me, he wants to do well for himself in that one-on-one battle of hitter versus pitcher. But you got to control your emotions no matter who you are. And when he's doing that and he's locked in, it's pretty special. So it's up to his teammates, himself, and definitely the coaches to make sure he's in that gear as many games as possible this year, and it'll be fun to watch.
Garrett Crochet also mentioned preseason All-American. Redmond Walsh also getting some attention, second team from the baseball writers, and also a part of the preseason Stopper of the Year watch list. You've talked about the great admiration for how hard Redmond has worked, as well as Garrett, no doubt about it. But what's it like to see those 2 young men get that kind of attention, again, going into this season that starts this week?
Right. It's well earned. And Garrett got a lot of compliments as a freshman for what his potential was. So to see him kind of fulfill that potential as of late as a person and a player has been exciting. But Redmond is a kid who, you know, kind of snuck up on us, then snuck up on his opponents, snuck up on his teammates a little bit. He would be the first to admit that to you. But he hasn't really changed. I mean, he's still the same Redmond, and he works his butt off, so he's improved. But I think those accolades are deserved. It's a notch in his belt, along with some other things that he's gotten out of the program. But again, he's not going to change. And I don't think he's the type of guy that has to be a hidden gem. The other guys can study him as much as they want. I think they're still going to have their work cut out for him when they battle with him. And that's what it's going to be is with Redmond, it's going to be a battle, and he's going to bring his best. And if you bring your best, then it'll be really fun to watch, and I'd like to think more times than not it's going to be in our favor, but new season, so we'll see.
What is your greatest confidence with this group?
I think their personality and the new air about them that maybe hasn't been in the building the last couple of years. There's a lot of downtime in this sport. There's a lot of travel. There's a lot of games per week. There's a lot of repetitions. All these things need to be handled with some intensity and focus and all the coach stuff, but also it just needs to be handled as a dude. And, you know, I think we got some good ones in that locker room. And, you know, the GPA was something we harped on for a lot of reasons, but one of them is just they kind of came together and said, let's do well academically. Part of it is so they get the little carrot at the end, but it's just one sign of a group that's got some good chemistry and some good personality to them. And any baseball team, I mean, the Phillies were a bunch of whack jobs with Lenny Dykstra and all those guys and Darren Dalton, but it's just one team that sticks out in my mind that had a lot of personality to them, and it went a long way. And, of course, there was some talent sprinkled in, but you can't name one team in our league that's not going to have talent. We've all got that. So there's got to be some X factors, and those are the ones that bring confidence to me.
Is there a greatest concern?
You know, it's been, you know, the kind of the earmark, or, you know, I don't want to call it staple because I don't want it to be our staple, but we've had guys get staples, you know, at the hospital. So I think the biggest thing is we want to see these kids be healthy and want to see our opponents be healthy and let them all go out on the field and run around like kids and do the best they can. And at the end of the year, we'll see who the All-Americans are and who the regional teams are and Omaha teams and things like that. But, you know, it's difficult when you see guys like Will Heflin, you know, not getting to start his senior year the way that he wants to. But he's just one example of a real good story that'll be written, and he'll join that roster when the time is right. But those frustrations in the fall, you know, and came a little bit in the winter, and then a mono deal with Jason Rackers have seemed to be a little too many for this team. So, again, hopefully we're getting them all out of the way before day one.
The steps that would allow fans to get from right field onto the field look fantastic. How have the improvements to the facility gone? Have they gone as planned? And what do you want out of the fan experience for the 2020 season?
Yeah, internally, the improvements have been steady. There's some new signage in the players' areas, and they really enjoy them, and they have purpose. We intentionally waited so that they had some significance and some meaning to them, and I think they've adopted that. A lot of it revolves around the tradition at Tennessee as well as Tennessee baseball. But yeah, externally, the seats, you know, are going to change soon in the right field area, maybe even mid-season, if not at the very end. But the steps next to them have changed everyone's world with camp and practice and foul balls. And so that's just one little thing. So we want to keep just making subtle improvements in recruiting and how we play and the facility. But to more directly answer your question about the experience we want is, you know, we want the alcohol deal to add to their experience. Of course, we don't want any hooligans or anything like that, but it's a sport that's slower, so there's a lot of people that enjoy a hot dog, and there's a lot of people that enjoy a beer with their hot dog. So for that to be handled the right way, and what I mean by that is not drinking responsibly, which everybody should do, but more just being creative with it and giving some people some good options and areas to go and, you know, add to the flavor of the park a little bit, because it is a great park we have. It's not as big as others, but I think we can make it an experience that's equal to others.
how excited are you for game one, and what is it like when this new dawn of a season arrives each season?
It's not here yet, which is a buzzkill answer, but it will be on game day. I think for now it's kind of, I joked before on air that, you know, it's kind of like cramming for a final. You go get your snacks and your Mountain Dew at 7-Eleven and you get it all crammed in. But if you feel like you've prepared well enough by the time you make it to that final, whether you slept or not, if you are prepared, it's a really good feeling, and you just kind of let your knowledge spill out on the paper. And I think regardless with this coaching staff, that's how I'll feel on Friday, is whatever lineup we do pencil in, we as a group will let our knowledge spill out onto the paper and see how it goes. And the fun thing about playing a 56-game season is it's not football where one game means everyone freaks out or gets entirely excited. It's a Rubik's Cube game of, you know, adjustments and make it as right as you can so you're playing your best ball in May.
Well, it's always exciting when that first pitch for a new season rolls around, and it's great to see everybody in the place that they were in staff-wise at the end of last year, at the start of this one. Best of luck to you and the Big Orange.
Amen to that on the staff, and thank you so much.
Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello
always has real life analogies. You can go get your snacks and Mountain Dew at the convenience store. And my favorite line is, it needs to be handled as dudes.
Yes.
As a dude.
That's right. Not just as a teammate, just as a dude.
Yeah.
And speaking of dudes, Garrett Crochet will not be pitching this weekend for Tennessee. This is Mike Wilson of the New Sentinel with this. He just tweeted that Crochet is experiencing some general soreness, according to the head coach. So the timeline of his return has yet to be determined. So Tennessee playing it safe going into this weekend, and it'll be sophomore Chad Dallas who makes the start tomorrow. 2:00, the first pitch, if you hadn't heard, 4:30 originally scheduled, now up to 2:00. Chad Dallas will get the ball for the Big Orange against Western Illinois. Coach Vitello is quoted by Mike Wilson, one of everybody's favorite teammates, and everyone is jazzed up for him.
He's one of those junior college transfers, hard thrower. They really do like him. He's a talented kid, great personality.
So we wish a speedy recovery to Garrett Crochet, and wish the very best to Chad Dallas and the rest of the Volunteers. We'll get a break. Lady Ball basketball coming up later tonight. So up next, comments from Kelly Harper as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Not so much our job as it is our obsession. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Getting closer to Tennessee Lady Vols basketball tonight. Tennessee plays at LSU. Earlier this week on Vol Calls, Kelly Harper talked about coming off of what was essentially an open date. They did not have a game this past weekend, and now getting back into the swing of things in the home stretch.
Had a rare weekend off, Kelly, to rest up and get ready now for the stretch drive of this SEC season, which is winding down. What, 6 games left?
Yeah, you know, it goes quick now, I'm telling you. You know, the day off, so not playing yesterday was really needed. Our players needed an extra day off, and we were able to get an extra practice in. So, you know, hopefully we're, taking advantage of that. And you know, it's not, you think about it this time of year, you talk about resting their legs and getting their legs back under them for the stretch drive, like you said, but also just mentally refreshing them because it, you know, it's taxing, you know, throughout the season.
You're in a position now, most people have you in the NCAA tournament, but you coaches, you're never quite sure, and you can't let up at this time of the year, can you?
No, we need to be, every game's a big deal. Every single game is a big deal. And so, you know, we have the standings in the locker room, and we talk about, you know, coming out and taking advantage of every opportunity, and hopefully that won't change.
All right, Renaya Davis was under the weather your last game. What's her status? Is she back?
Yep, she's back in practice. On Sunday, and that was a big blow for the team, obviously, to not have her out there. But you know, I like the way our players stepped up, and they had a good mindset and a good attitude, and getting her back out in practice was good, and getting her legs under and a little wind. I talked to her. She knew she was going to be a little winded in practice on Sunday, but that was good for her.
Get her back out there. You got LSU on Thursday night in Baton Rouge. You played them earlier this season. What do you remember about that game?
Well, we played a lot of zone. I remember that. and we struggled to guard and man, and that's where our zone really helped us. But we had prepared for that. We were ready for that. Their guards are very patient. They take care of the basketball. They don't quick shoot the ball and give you opportunities to run and transition. They do a really good job of looking for their post players. Now, they did lose a post player to an injury since we saw them, and she was really good against us, so it's going to change the look of that game. So it's one of those things, we'll go back and review it, but it's going to be changed so much because of what that player did, Ayanna Mitchell. She's really talented, and hate to see anybody go to injury. So I think they're playing right now. They're playing Mizzou right now. So we'll kind of see how that goes and see the last couple games, what they've looked like without Mitchell.
Aside from limiting the turnovers, what's the focal point for your basketball team these last six games? What do you need to accomplish besides winning games?
Oh, obviously? Wow. Yeah, you've got to find a way to win. And I think, you know, still got to – what I'd like to do, win games and get better. Win games and get better, just even if it's a little bit. And, you know, the thing that I pulled out as many pure toughness drills as we could do on Sunday, you know, and it was good to be able to have a game or a practice where we're not focusing on somebody else. We could really focus in on us. And, you know, a lot less 5-on-5, just some raw, sheer toughness drills. And so I think that's where we're still trying to find that, and get a little bit better in that department.
And I know the schedule's gotten tougher, particularly from what it was early in the year in the preseason. Do you feel like this team is still tracking upward, or do you think you've kind of plateaued in your improvement, or where do you think you are?
That's a good question, and I don't know that I can even answer that at this point. You know, coming off the last two games, we played two really good teams, and, you know, our youth showed at times and just our, a little bit of an inexperience and lack of depth. And, you know, now it'll be interesting to see now how we come out of those two games and where our mind will be, where our attitude will be, and I think that will determine a lot.
With Kelly Harper tonight here, Lady Ball coach, as Tennessee gets set to take on LSU Thursday night down in Baton Rouge. Got a couple of veterans on the team, but you got a lot of young players. Sometimes they hit that freshman wall. Is this week off probably good for that, to kind of let them settle down a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I thought this is a week that it's funny because your freshmen need it. But sometimes it's hard for them to handle because you get them out of the routine a little bit. You give them a little bit more time off. And sometimes that's not easy to handle as well. So I think for them, the mental break is as important as anything. And I agree. I think freshmen hit a wall. And every freshman hits it at a different time. You know, some freshmen hit it early. Some hit it late. Some it's the Grand Canyon, you know, they got to get through it. And some it's just, oh, let me do this, hop over it and move on. So, you know, I always feel like everybody's different. There's no right or wrong. Does it make you better or worse? You just have to deal with what is thrown at you and be able to get through some adversity.
Can you see that coming?
Usually we can, yeah. Usually we have a pretty good eye on when it's going to come, what it's going to look like. I think our staff's been around enough now to we've seen several. We had several examples of what it's going to look like.
So,
and you know what we try to do, because we know this is going to happen, we try to prep them as best we can prior to, and we try to get them in a space for that when they hit that wall, we can get them through it, over it, under it, between it, whatever we need to do.
So what's the key to getting them through it?
Everybody's different. I think that's the key. I think you have to know how to help them. And, you know, maybe that's a day off. Maybe that is another practice. Maybe that's extra shooting. Maybe it's film. Maybe it's just continuing to encourage. Sometimes they need to go home and see mom and dad. You know, I mean, everybody's a little bit different. And you've got to work with each person and find their need and build on their strength.
And sometimes it's good for the coach and the players to get away for a little bit too, isn't it?
I think so. I think, you know, they hear my voice so much, and, you know, and it's sometimes nagging, you know, and you don't ever want them to feel that's the way it always is. And so sometimes just a break is good. A break is good just for just a refresher. But yeah, we've seen them. They've been around the office the last few days, so it's been good.
Let's talk a little bit about the SEC overall. South Carolina looks to be the cream of the crop this year.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, South Carolina and Mississippi State had, I think it was a two-point game. They it was a tough battle. So I think South Carolina is ahead of Mississippi State in terms of what else they've been able to do. But when they played head-to-head, it was a two-point game. So I think Mississippi State's nipping at their heels. And then, I just think there are a lot of teams right behind them that can win. And, you know, at any point, there's a bunch of teams that can win on any given night, and that's where the consistency comes in. That's where the daily focus and the push and never letting up is really important.
But the thing is, you got Texas A&M coming in on Sunday. That's going to be another tough game, too, for Tennessee. But these last six games, this is about positioning for the SEC tournament and making sure you're in the NCAA tournament.
We talk about the standings and positioning. And, you know, as we start going, you start checking. This is the time of year you start checking those scores a little bit tighter and, you know, making sure, seeing who's moving where. And, you know, one thing I told our players, I said, the only thing we don't want to get into, we don't want to start thinking, ooh, if they beat this team, then this, or hopefully they'll beat them. You can't control that. All you can control is us, and we have to worry about us. And if you worry about us, then everything else will take care of itself.
Have you learned your team well enough now that you know what buttons to push with different players? I mean, are you more familiar with them now to try and see how I can do that to this player, but I better not do it to that player?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good feel of how everybody's just a little bit different. There are players that need to be pushed a little bit more, and then there are players that need a few more pats on the back. And, you know, sometimes you may not get it completely right, but you have a pretty good idea of what each player needs.
I know Coach Barnes was here early. You guys were talking a little bit about turnovers. It's interesting to listen to coaches talk to each other about how you get this team to do this, or how did he give you any advice on the turnovers?
No.
I think his word was "don't ask me," I think was the phrase he used.
You know, it is funny. I actually slipped in their practice today just to walk in. I didn't get to sit long, but I enjoy that. I've not had an opportunity really to get in there and get in the nitty gritty of their practice. I've always enjoyed that. I always enjoy talking to other coaches about just how they do things. Not because I want to do it like them, but sometimes I just like to hear it. You know, sometimes you just want to hear what they're doing, and, you know, maybe there's a concept that'll sit in, and sometimes you're just like, oh, well, that's cool. I don't do it that way, but we'll move on. You know, so I think it's, but I think, you know, as coaches, I think we're always looking and always searching, and you're always students of the game.
Do you talk about out-of-bounds plays and, I mean, simple stuff that maybe the average fan, because every coach I've seen, I think, wants to steal an out-of-bounds play or get a different out-of-bounds play that fits their team better.
Yeah. Like I said, I haven't yet, but I've got friends in the game, and I've got brothers that coached, and so I'll hit
them.
Your
dad probably had a notebook, too.
My dad gave one to Pat Summitt. He gave one to Pat Summitt. He did. And I was a senior in high school, and they ran it for me in high school. And he drew it up for probably on a napkin. That would make sense. And told her, Nikki McCray, you got to put Nikki McCray right here that she's going to score on this. And so it was one of those, you know, moments as a teenage girl, you're like, oh, no, you just told Pat Summitt that, you know, here's a play. But she ran it. It was really cool.
And it worked?
It worked.
Of course it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Of course it worked. All right, let's talk about this week. This is an important week. You got to build some momentum out, don't you?
It's, you know, at this point, they're all important.
Yeah.
It is all important. And, you know, how you handle success, how you handle failure, how you handle everything going down this last six games is it's critical. It's going to, you know, you're either going to have regrets or you're going to be excited. So I think for us, you know, just getting everybody to lock in and make sure, doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but just understand the importance and have some urgency with these games, every single one of them. You can't let up.
Comments from Kelly Harper.
Yeah, they need to get better, and she's well aware of that and is working on that. And this is a big game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Or tonight, I'm sorry.
Correct, yeah. And they took care of LSU when LSU played up here. LSU suffered the loss of its best player. So that means they're going to circle the wagons. It could be perhaps even a tougher matchup tonight in Baton Rouge. Teams identical records overall and conference play, and they square off tonight in at LSU. So we'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Making average people feel more attractive since 1876. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson, Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and Jay Billis, as he likes to point out, the best 68. He's got a little love, a little recognition for Tennessee basketball.
That's right. I thought that was very interesting. Has Tennessee at 62 in his, I guess, Billustrator rating. So I think what, you know, what he said, it was interesting, pointed out that Tennessee has dealt with some injuries this year, but then with Rick Barnes, you can't count him out because of his team's defend, and they've gotten a lot of contribution from freshman Santiago Vescovi.
So how about that? Vince's new best friend. Let's get a call from Roger. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John. Hey, Vince. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John. Doing fine. Thank you for asking. And I want to ask you about basketball. You're picking I want to ask you about the band's team, about the team. I just want to ask you first, is real quick, first I want to ask you. I know Tennessee play. I know they won their day to tonight. They play well. I just want to ask you, after what you saw from. I just want to ask you. All the players, new players, to learn how to, because it seems like they're doing better at learning. And that's why I asked you about Kobe and all of them. Seems like he's getting better too. That's why I asked you for what you saw. You think that Kobe, all the players, you think they learn the role. You think how to play everything.
Well, Roger, I'd like to see them string it together for a longer period of time before you say, yeah, hey, they figured it out and now the light's on and now they can just move forward and continue to do it. They've had some lulls where they haven't played the right way, and they did play the right way against Arkansas in large part. So I think when they don't rely too much on the three-point shot and they're able to keep teams from getting in the lane and driving to into the paint and to the basket, and force teams to try to beat them from the perimeter more often, I think those are some keys for Tennessee. Obviously, rebounding is important also. So when they play the right way, I think the Arkansas game showed what their potential is. And honestly, even with that, though, as well as they performed, if other guys develop more as the year goes on, then I think they can still be even better. I don't think that's their max effort, but it does kind of give you a glimpse into what they could do when they play right. The problem is they don't have a great margin for error. So there's times still where if they play a little bit off or not that well, then it can completely flip into a loss. So it's incomplete for me, Roger. I got to see them do it a few more games in a row.
Yeah, I got you. John, how about you, Johnny? You feel the same way? You feel the same way that Vince does?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Coach Barnes and his staff do such a great job of working with this team. Well, working with their team from the start of the season to the end of the season. There's still a lot of room for improvement, but that doesn't mean you won't see improvement. But it is, it's going to be something to see. Yeah. It's going to be quite a challenge after starting 0-2. South Carolina has won 7 of its last 9 in conference play. But, Roger, we sure do appreciate it, and we thank you for that. And, of course, here's what you can always count on from the Deacon, Coach Barnes. He was asked about Eve Pons and his ability to block shots. Here's what Barnes said. When he got here, he wasn't known as a shot blocker, and I decided I was going to make him one, and I spent a lot of time with him, spent about 15 minutes a day talking about how to get himself in position.
He taught him all that athleticism, too, right?
That's exactly right. I just love how he approaches it.
Hilarious.
But, again, Roger, we do appreciate the call. And, Vince, tonight, Tennessee, the Lady Vols, it's a game they could really use. Tied for third in the SEC with LSU, and tonight they play in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, LSU's looking at it as a game they should win as well. So should be fun competitive matchup, and we'll review it all tomorrow.
That we will. Thank you again, Vince. Another great day.
Thanks, John.
That's Vince Ferrar. I'm John Wilkerson. Join us tomorrow for Sports Talk. We'll be at Oak Ridge Nissan, and you can enter the Coors Light Climb to a Championship.